You're going to love the next guest. Every time I talk to my friend, Raina Rose, I just feel amazing. That's why she is known as the soul nutritionist. She's going to make you feel amazing. Trust me. She's also an international best-selling author. Her latest book, Sin Tastes Good, Nourishing Your Soul in an Empty Calorie World, is an amazing book that I recommend everybody read. Do not miss this episode with the one and only Raina Rose on the Criminal Justice Evolution podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Patrick here, host and creator of the Top Ranked Criminal Justice Evolution podcast. Top Ranked because of you, the listener and supporter. I know you got many options, but you always come back here to us, and we sure do appreciate it. Thank you for sharing it with your family and friends. If you're not subscribed to the show, please do so. And lastly, give us that 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcast. We sure would appreciate it. If you're new to the show, welcome. If you're a longtime listener, welcome back. A big, big shout out and thanks to all those brave men and women working in the criminal justice field, whatever you were doing, wherever you were at, thank you for doing it, putting it on the line every day. Remember this, you are honored, cherished, and above all, you are loved. Keep up the fantastic work. We are all busy in law enforcement. Trust me, I know, I've been there. And one of the responsibilities that I had, and maybe you have, is administering and running an extra duty program, along with everything else you got going on. I wish I knew about Extra Duty Solutions. Now, Extra Duty Solutions helps law enforcement agencies everywhere add efficiency and effectiveness to their extra duty programs while allowing them to focus on what really matters. That's the safety of their citizens. They work with law enforcement agencies everywhere to administer and help with their extra duty programs in the following area: client interaction, scheduling, invoicing, collections, officer payments, feedback, and so much more. Their services are provided at no cost to the department and a minimal cost to their clients. Now, programs can be customized to meet the goals and unique needs of any agency. If you like what you hear, head over to extradutysolutions.com. That's extradutysolutions.com. And tell them Patrick from the Criminal Justice Evolution podcast sent you.
I represent low-cost airlines, and we know a lot of you are not traveling right now, and we understand. However, if you do need to travel between now and the end of the year, now is a great time to lock in some of the lowest prices we've seen in a lifetime. Hey, in normal times, we can save you up to 75%, but now airlines are practically giving away seats. We have inside deals on over 500 airlines. Here are a few sample round-trip deals we found. Seattle to Vegas, $35. Chicago go to Atlanta, $85. Los Angeles to Atlanta, $100. Of course, there are some limitations, but the airlines want your business right now. And cancellation and change fees are flexible. So fly somewhere this year, book now, save a ton, call right now.
800-296-1337. 800-296-1337. 800-296-1337. 800-296-1337.
On to this amazing show with the one and only Raina Rose. Enjoy. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Very excited to have my good friend Raina Rose back on the show. She's awesome. She was on the show about a year ago, I think, and she's back again. She's got a new book out. She's going to talk about how you doing, Raina.
I am doing so good, Patrick. I mean, anytime we get to come on here and just chat for a long time.
I know. We spent the last probably a good 40
about an
minutes.
Hour
just talking and BSing. I love it. Talking about everything.
Yeah.
But you're doing so much great work out there. You're an international best-selling author, soul nutrition, Roco TV show host, and you're just helping so many people out there. That's what I love about you. You just continue to give back. What got you started on your path, for those of you who don't know Raina Rose?
Oh, well, you know, I was born in a, it's so hard to say where it started. You know, I really do think, we were talking before the show started about a lot of the race things we got going on right now and the big focus on inclusion. And I was very fortunate to grow up in a third world country in an international school where every culture, every difference in people was so celebrated. It was so celebrated that we wore different clothes and listened to different music, even had different religions, different cultural backgrounds. And the school, being an international school, just really focused on celebrating all of that. So when I got to America, you know, Orange County, California, and the kids said, well, if you don't wear the same shoes as us, you can't sit at our lunch table. I was in shock. I had never, who thought that everyone would want to look the same, dress the same, listen to the same thing, think the same thoughts? And so I think that really, I tried to fit into the mold that, you know, got me to sit at the lunch table for while. And it obviously just didn't work. And ever since then, I've really been on this path to creating peace between people within themselves, which is where it starts, and with others. And, you know, we were talking earlier about connection in this time that we're living in right now. Is the thing that's killing us really is this lack of connection. And what I try to bring to everyone that I bring on my show or write a book for, or I'm going to create a course on the book because people are like, well, what's next? You know? And I try to bring them into this place where you're connecting with your creator, whatever you might, I call it God, Jesus, someone might call it something different, connecting with your creator, connecting with yourself, really knowing thyself. And then you're connecting with others and you're having empathy for where they are, their own perspectives, and being a safe place for them to speak with you about the good, bad, and the ugly. And this, when we have this kind of connection, this is where we feel secure, joyful, and we're not in this, you know, the time that we're in, living in right now, is isolation and fear.
Yeah. It's just, and we were talking about it. Son, I love what you just said. I mean, because you're right on the money. I mean, what advice would you give, Raina, to the people out there that are listening who are isolated and alone and that are really, really struggling? Because, yeah, I mean, it's one thing that we were talking about, you know, you can't go, you know, out to eat, you know, it's an inconvenience, but there's a lot of people out there that are just struggling just to make sense of all this. And they're just depressed. Maybe they're alone, you know, isolated. What advice would you give people out there to kind of help them, you know, to have some hope or become more positive? I mean, because this is very tough. I mean, that's an understatement with a lot of people.
Definitely. And, you know, the ironic thing is the first step is spending downtime by yourself.
I love that.
The thing is, right, we're alone, but we are absorbed in our phones. We are, you know, vegging out on a Netflix binge or just anything to distract ourselves from the feelings that we're having. And so even though it sounds very counterproductive that the solution to loneliness is spending time alone, but in silence. And we look at all the research on how silence actually grows parts of your brain to make you more peaceful and less in fear. And these parts of the brain that make you want to fight or flight, it brings you into this homeostasis when we intentionally sit in silence. And so I encourage people to grab a journal for several reasons. If you are privileged enough to live somewhere in nature, I like to go out into the woods when I'm in the mountains, go sit on a rock. And if I'm at home though, sometimes I will just sensory deprive and even go into a closet and just be out of all sensory.
I love it. Yeah. No, I love that idea. I mean, that's a great idea.
And because there's so many distractions. And so I encourage people, like when you go out on that rock, bring your journal. And when all the minutia of the day, all the usual distractions start popping up in your head, write it down if you're afraid you're going to forget it. And then allow the silence to go deeper. And then sometimes nothing happens. And I also personally, I like to pray. I say God, I like to ask God, anything I hear, anything that comes up in this time, let it be only of you and not my own thoughts or something that I have been socialized to believe, but help me to really receive that divine inspiration. And so then when I'm sitting there in silence, oftentimes this is where an idea for a summit comes up, or an idea for a new business, or an idea of how to solve a personal problem I had been having. that I had been mulling over and trying to figure out by my own hustling strength.
Yeah.
And when I sit in that silence and I receive the inspiration that I believe we all have inside of us, but we don't get still and quiet enough to tap into.
Yeah.
That's when I also realize, I need to call this friend and have a conversation, because that's what's actually going to nourish my soul. And we're going to talk about things that build each other up, rather than maybe I'm used to calling these other five people who we just make each other more fearful.
Yeah.
And, but that divine intelligence, when we sit in silence, helps us to connect with the right people and do the right things, rather than just spinning in our busyness, which I am just as guilty as anyone else for just getting super busy and spinning in that busyness. And without these times of silence to really recalibrate and refocus, I start just being busy for the sake of being busy.
Yeah. I love that, because I mean, I think some people, like when I retreat, cause I want to be alone, and my wife, sometimes she's used to it now, but I remember earlier on when I would do that, she'd be like, what's wrong? And I was like, I just want to be by myself. You know, it's, no, nothing's wrong. I just want to be alone in my own thoughts. And I love that. I mean, I think that is important. Now the flip side is being alone in your thoughts and you're thinking bad things, but I think it's great to self-reflect and to go inward, introspect, you know, and start, okay, this is what I need to do to make my life better. This is, you know, I think that's so good. I love what you said about journaling, because I love.
And that's something journaling for the bad things too. Again, I always give it to God, you know, whatever you call God. I journal like, God, I'm really worried that the government is taking over our lives. You know, God, I'm really worried.
Me too, God.
Yeah, right. Help me to find peace in what's going on, because I'm not finding it on my own. Or Lord, I'm concerned that, you know, I'm bringing out a book that I believe you've called me to bring to the world. And less than 2% of authors make money on their works. So I'm concerned about this. I'm going to bring this. And there's a verse that says to bring our problems as an offering to God, not just our good things, but all the junk in our mind too. And if we just keep ruminating over that junk, like you said, we're thinking bad things in our time alone and have no one to give that to, like no higher power. Yeah. It could possibly eat us alive. And so that's where I really, you know, I use that journal and say like, and even for those who aren't spiritual and you want some sort of relationship with a creator, you can even say, God, I don't know if I believe in you.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to throw this out there. You know, I'm making an effort and I don't even know if that's what I believe, but here it is. And even that will be a relief off your chest.
Well, and I like what you said about Raina is call somebody who is going to bring you up and inspire you or motivate you or get you out of your funk. Don't call, and I'm guilty of this. Don't just call somebody up to just relish in the negativity or the toxicity or whatever you want to call it. And a lot of people fall in that trap. I have done that a lot in the past. I don't do it a lot anymore. If I'm bummed out, I'm going to call, hey, Raina, bring me up. I need to talk to you, because you're just that type of soul. But so many people do the opposite. Like you said, hey, misery loves company. I'm going to call and bitch to you and complain and my life sucks. And oh, mine does too. And it's just counter.
And it almost becomes a competition sometimes.
Yeah, it's like, you know, we all know those people. I mean, I got family members, God bless them, that they're just the perpetual victim, you know. I mean, everything, they're just the victim, you know. It's just the thumb of life, you know, is just dealt them a raw hand, and they don't realize that they have the power within to make the changes.
Absolutely. You know? And I think, you know, we're heading into the holidays and we all have that family. I have it too, you know, and I've actually been experiencing that the last few days. And there's two ways to approach it. Right? There's asking questions, and true questions, not questions that you're trying to, you know, back someone into a corner. But, you know, the other day everyone was complaining about something and I said, so what's been your favorite part of the week so far? And they knew it was a subject change.
Yeah.
So they all came up with something that was really positive that they liked. And I'm not for avoiding your emotions either. We can get into that in a second, but This doesn't mean we're avoiding true emotion. This means we're avoiding victim mentality and constant complaining. Another thing that we were watching a movie just last night, actually, and they were complaining about, oh, it was Hallmark and the trees didn't look perfect and this person's hair wasn't. And I just, you know, really loudly went, they all suck, you know? And, you know, it kind of pointed out in a cute, funny, humorous way that, like, you guys are just sitting around complaining.
Yeah, just complaining. It's a show.
So, you know, it was funny to be like, yeah, they all suck. And everyone laughed.
To lighten up the mood. Yeah. Now, talk about what you were going to say, Raina, about the other aspect of not just ignoring, mm-hmm. you know, but that's important too. You have to not just live in a bubble, right?
That's right. And this is something I actually speak about in this new book. It's got a kind of funny title.
I love the title.
Sin Tastes Good. Yeah. So Sin Tastes Good. And the subtitle is Nourishing Your Soul in an Empty Calorie World.
Yeah. And so, love it.
I used to be that person who just, I had this group called the Happy Women's Society where we only talked about positive things. And I had a positive mantra for just about anything and just like Pinterest level cliche positivity for even the most genuine of woes, right? I could not mourn with those who mourn. And that all changed when my 24-year-old brother died in a motorcycle accident 4 hours after we had been having brunch together. Mm-hmm. And he was my best friend. We grew up in that school in the third world country together. I joked sometimes when we were growing up, we were each other's best friends because we were each other's only friends most of the time. Yeah. And he was really my person, you know, my person who you could send any stupid text to all day and they're never going to get annoyed with you. You can just call them up, say something silly and hang up. That he was my person. He was gone.
Yeah.
And all of that positivity that was always just above the surface was gone. And the people who knew me as the happiest girl they'd ever known suddenly saw this zombie shell of a human that they didn't recognize. And they were scared because they looked to me for that positivity all the time. And however, as I began to pull out of that, one of the girls from that Happy Women's Society, she told me, you know, this was the first time I ever saw you as human. And the first time I was ever comfortable telling you some of my problems.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Because you were always positivity, positive, positive, positive. And probably, I'm assuming, you tell me if I'm wrong, some of that came off as not genuine.
Definitely a little bit not genuine, but also that if you came to me with a true hurt, I was just going to give you a positive mantra
on your way. Instead of just getting deeper and actually, you know, being truly sorry in the moment. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Does that make sense?
Right, right. It's one thing if you're rehashing something that happened 20 years ago and 5 years ago, but like in a present moment, something that you're going through, you need to feel that completely. Because the thing is, if we don't feel our emotions wholeheartedly and preferably there in the moment, we are going to drag that experience with us into everything we do moving forward. You've maybe heard that analogy of you have a backpack, and when you have these negative emotions and feelings that you haven't dealt with and unpacked, you start loading that backpack down with rocks and more rocks and more rocks. And suddenly you're trying to climb the mountain of your life with a backpack full of boulders and wondering why it's so hard. And one of the things that I practice and I recommend to those who want to bring this into their practice of life is fasting. And, you know, some people do intermittent fasting. I like the kind of fasting that's for a couple of days because, first of all, I don't really get hungry anymore. I unintentionally fasted for a month after my brother died. I just couldn't eat food. Yeah. It made me want to throw up. And so, but what I do is I fast for maybe 3 days and I'll notice a lot of times I go to the cupboard and I open up the doors or open up the refrigerator doors. And I'm not hungry. And I stare into the abyss of food. And I have eventually learned to ask myself, what am I trying not to feel? What am I trying to stuff with food right now? But I know I can't eat. So I can't do that automatic response of just have a feeling, shove some food down my throat, have a feeling, smoke a cigarette, have a feeling, get a drink, whatever our go shopping, whatever our vice of choice is. I stare into that refrigerator and I think, okay, I'm feeling insecure right now. What am I feeling insecure about? Close the refrigerator, maybe go to my journal, maybe go to my rock. And okay, this is what I'm dealing with. I'm dealing with insecurity. And what's making me feel insecure is I haven't had a quote unquote real job for 2 years. Okay, you know, I'm feeling insecure because the crowds I used to run in, you know, we have corporate level jobs and this is how people seem successful. You know, you can say your titles to people. Okay. And then I start going through that. Is that what I believe? Or am I doing this path because this is what I feel called to and I'm serving people and helping them on a deeper level than serving a corporation? And so that I get deeper and deeper into why I'm feeling inadequate, whatever it might be, you know, or if I'm feeling jealous or I'm feeling whatever the feeling is, instead of avoiding it, getting deep down into it, staring that feeling in the face,
yeah,
and then acknowledging it, dealing with it, and then choosing, okay, well, you know what? I'm going to move forward in confidence because I have chosen to serve people. I have chosen to do something different. I have chosen to a different path, and that path less traveled is where all the joy is. Yeah. And, you know, coming out of that feeling, but I had to face it because what we resist persists and it will just keep following us with this nudge of insecurity if we never really stare that demon down.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. I mean, you help just tons of people out there right now. I mean, what are some of the common themes that you hear that keep coming up that people struggle with? I mean, maybe it's a broad question, but I'll throw it out there anyway. I mean, is there any kind of reoccurring same themes up? Okay, well, I've heard this a lot before that you hear from people that are struggling with a variety of issues.
Yeah, I mean, of course, right now we're dealing with a global angst, yeah. Right? I mean, just this global, we don't know when the next shoe's going to drop. People are worrying about what's going to happen to the economy, what's going to happen to the real estate market, and so these are all things outside of ourselves. However, they're still important. So I'm not one of those like spiritual teachers who says, you know, money's not important, or it is important.
<It's> very important.
Very important.
And usually the people that say money's not important are the people that don't have any money.
Exactly. Right. And, you know, it's definitely like, it's not something that's going to feed your soul. However, being able to sponsor my orphanages feeds my soul, and that takes money. You know?
Of course it does.
Having a roof over my head, having a nice car to drive. I like all those things. Now, will I live without all those? Can I still be content and happy if I don't have them? Sure. That I think that's important too. You know, can we be content without it? That's important because then we don't worship our money and we make our money work for us rather than us always working for the money.
But I get so tired, and you're exactly right. I mean, you've probably heard it before is, you know, a lot of people, you know, money is the root of all evil, and you know, it's not, money's a tool. So, I mean, you know, if you were an evil or a bad person, the money's just going to amplify that. If you, in my opinion, if you are a good person, you believe in philanthropy and giving back, it's going to amplify that. So and there's a lot of people, money, you know, and there's not enough to go around. There's more than enough to go around. There is.
Absolutely.
There's a bunch of abundance out there, but as you tell people, probably, I know you do. I mean, there's just like this scarcity mindset that is pervasive in our society, not with everybody, but it's just crazy.
I get tested by it from time to time too.
Yeah. Well,
you know, I'm not immune to it. I'll tell you that much. You know, sometimes I live in LA half the time. I see these houses going for, you know, 2 bedrooms, 1 bath for $1.5 million. And I'm thinking, this can't last. I'm not going to buy that. You know, so I definitely.
But I guess it's about the attitude, you know.
The attitude, exactly. Money. And I'm not sure if you caught it, but I have this wonderful episode with Rabbi Daniel Lappin. He wrote the book, Thou Shalt Prosper. And he is this rabbi who teaches all the Jewish principles that if we look out throughout history, and this isn't racist, this is just, we can look throughout history and look at the numbers. The Jewish people have thrived more than other cultures wherever they are in the world throughout all of history. I think right now the Jewish people make up less than 2% of the population and they make up 20% of the Forbes top 40 list.
And why is that?
What's that?
Right. And why is that? Because they're doing smart things with their money. They're not.
They are. And he talks about money not being evil at all. The love of money. Yeah. But money, and he talks about, is a spiritual thing.
Yeah.
And he said, if your dog can't understand this transaction, it's because it's spiritual. The dog can understand when you're sitting and eating some food, like, okay, I need to get, the dog has to do that too. But when you're exchanging money for a service or money for a product, that's something, and he talks about it being spiritual, that you are exchanging this, what you worked for what they're working for.
Yeah.
And I've even heard it called the best of what humanity has to offer, because you only pay for something that is going to benefit your life in some way. And so you will pay money to benefit you because it's the best that that person has to offer you. And when I offer a service, I do my best to make sure, like this course, you know, people want me to do a course. And I've seen where that underbelly of, let me sell you a course so I can get more money out of you, you know, and I'm like, okay, if I'm going to create a course, I have to create something that you're going to get 10 to 100 times more value than I'm charging out of this course, because my energy going out there and my receiving that money is a spiritual transaction that I want to be giving more than I could possibly receive, and then receive because of that too.
Yeah. It just amazes me. I wish our school system would teach people. Yes. Don't even get me started, but I don't know why I brought it. But I wish they would teach our kids, you know, basic money management, finance, stuff like that. And, you know, because it's just, again, there's just, I think that a lot of people view money as evil, rich people as evil, people with money as evil. And I think, again, there's, like you said, you have a foundation. I mean, it takes money and you're giving back. And I think, you know, and you see it now, I think more than ever. I mean, I think in years past where there's such a divide between the have and have nots, and it's, well, you know, it's money's the problem. The rich people are all the, you know, they're the cause of everything. I mean, come on. It's just that attitude. You know what I mean? It's like law of attraction. If you think that there's scarcity, and if you think there's not enough money to go around, then how do you expect money to flow to you? You got to put in the work. But if I look at you and say, well, Raina, you're successful, financially successful. There's, you have that and I don't because you're successful. I just don't, I've never bought into that. But a lot of people do, unfortunately.
You know, I love teaching business classes to my orphans in Russia. And one of the things, I really do believe that at some point everybody should be broke just so that they can, first of all, know that they, you know, could start from nothing and do it again. So you're not worried about money, right? Also, you can relate to and teach people so much better. When I'm speaking to my Russian orphans and I can say, hey, you know, I lived in state housing and I was working like four jobs and still living in state housing. When they're in state housing, I'm not just some rich American that flies around on private jets and comes and tells them that they can be anything they want to be, you know, like some trust fund.
Yeah.
Right. I'm like, granted, my state housing was a lot nicer than theirs in their country, but I can at least say, you know, I came from nothing and I was able to do this. And I think, you know, we talk about, again, this global angst that's happening right now. What's the, in the law of attraction? Now, when we talk law of attraction, we're talking about being at vibrations, right? Mm-hmm. We want to be at a joyful vibration. We want to be at a vibration of gratitude. And that is what attracts the opportunities. That's what attracts the people who, you know, right now, if I wanted to go get a different job, I call up 10 people and I'd have 10 job offers because I have, first of all, been serving and giving back in the community for years. I am positive and joyful and not in a phony way anymore. And in a way that people can also come and tell me their sorrows and I'll be there for them. And so if I have a tough moment, I have opportunities at my fingertips every day.
Cultivated those relationships.
Right. However, if I started in for a prolonged amount of time, and Joe Dispenza describes it really well, you know, that a mood becomes, or it's like an emotion becomes a mood, becomes a habit, becomes your personality. And so if I, you know, again, I'm around family too, and hearing people create it, you know, complaining. But if I'm always telling you about how this person cheated me and how that didn't work out and how poor me, I didn't do this, are you going to want to give me a job opportunity? No. Are you going to want to connect me in a business, you know, arrangement?
You're just going to complain all the time. That's going to be toxic for the organization.
I might lose your friendship with that person because I'm going to start complaining about them or complaining about you, you know, who knows? And so that's where in this global angst that we're all experiencing right now, and none of us are immune from it. We're all feeling it, even if we're not being directly impacted by the financial and things, but we all feel the angst. If we are pulled down into those vibrations of fear, if we are pulled down into the worry, complaint, fearfulness, we're going to shut down all those opportunities. We're going to shut down everything that makes us attract goodness because we are going to be in those low vibrations of fear and worry and anxiety.
Mm-hmm. And I still believe, and maybe you do, Raina, that even in times like this, there's tremendous growth, opportunities for personal growth, for networking, just because we're being told we got to stay home doesn't mean that there's not opportunities to keep self-improving. You and I are doing it right now with technology. I mean, there's other ways to continue to grow and thrive, even in a weird moment in time we're living in right now.
I would say we have to be more intentional with it than we ever had before. And that's where, again, we have this global angst and that's okay. You know, I have people complaining around me right now. It doesn't mean I'm going to start doing it too. No. It just means I have to be more conscious not to fall in that, because I loved the course you taught at our summit, that the people you spend your time around, you're going to become like. And so again, while most of the world is falling into this fear and this angst and things like that, we need to be more intentional of finding the people who are still choosing to thrive, even despite these crazy times, who are still choosing to be grateful for what they do have. You know, maybe they've even lost their job, but they're being grateful they still have their home and that, you know, they're able to make the payments or whatever they're able, you know, or they were able to move into their parents' house and they don't have to be homeless. You know, like just the people who are choosing to be grateful and then saying, you know, like you look at Robert Kiyosaki, he lived in his parents' house, right? Till he made it big.
Rich dad, poor dad guy.
That mindset. Be grateful for what he had. And he created, you know, millions and millions from that point on. And so we don't have to be like, okay, well, I'm not as successful as this person, or I don't have these things. Okay, what do you have? Do you speak the English language and you're in America?
Yeah. All right, you woke up today, right?
You woke up today, you're drawing breath.
I mean, that's the way I look at things. I mean, I get irritated sometimes, but I always come back to, look, I'm alive. You know, I mean, I have beautiful family, a family that loves me. I love them. I mean, the list goes on. So I always tell people, you know, no matter how bad you think your life is, and I'm not trying to mitigate that, I'm not trying to say people don't suffer, there's always somebody that has it worse than you, right? I mean, there's always somebody.
Help that person. And you know, I go around my car, I have these little, I call them beloved cards. They're for people experiencing homelessness, which is the politically correct way to say it.
Yeah, experiencing homelessness.
Yes, they're not homeless people. They're people experiencing homelessness. But, and you know, some people have fallen on that times. In fact, though, they say that it's not when you run out of money that you become homeless. It's when you run out of relationships.
Oh, so I again, love that.
Cultivating those relationships, cultivating those things, you could be completely out of money and you'd still never be so destitute that you couldn't have a roof over your head and food, because you have relationships and those people would take you in, even if you're sleeping on their floor, right? Or their sofa, or whatever.
That's a good point.
But I have these little cards and they have $5 in them, because I don't agree with like just praying for people and then never doing anything for them. But it's got a little prayer in there, a little verse that's encouraging, that's like, you can get through this. And then it's got $5 in there. And I keep them in the glove box of all the cars at the house. And I give them to people. And I've sometimes made a U-turn to go give one to someone. And then I have to get back to where it was going. And I've seen people open them and be in tears. Or I've seen them, I'll hand them the envelope and they'll say, wow, it's been so long since I've received something like this. And, you know, I can give back and I can help someone who has it worse than I do, regardless of where I am. You know, like people could just make the card and just give an encouraging note too, you know, if you have nothing. But I believe in tithing. And so that's part of like my tithing and offering too.
So do I do. And I love it, Raina. And there's a reason why, I mean, you said you're called, you're a soul nutritionist. Because that nourishes the soul. I mean, just the impact that just that small gesture, you know, with, you know, just somebody, you know, somebody who's experiencing homelessness, and you give them that card and they read it and they start crying. I mean, that's very, very impactful.
I love when they're like, wow, it's been so long since I've received something like this. It's so long since they, and especially before COVID, I would really make an effort to touch them on the elbow because they don't get touched.
Yeah.
And now we're all experiencing that.
Yeah. The physical touch, you made a good point. I mean, we need that.
We need it.
Yeah. I mean, geez, where do you think we're going with this? You know, without getting too deep in the weeds with this. I mean, it's just crazy.
I think a lot will depend on how this election goes. We still don't know.
Yeah, I agree with you. We're talking about it.
Yeah, you know, I think it's really hard to say. I think that if we go towards more government control, like you were saying, you know, even having our guns taken away and things, we may experience civil war. I hope it doesn't go that route.
Yeah.
I think that the American people, the thing is, we've been kind of slowly putting up with things, and then it gets normalized, and slowly, and then it gets normalized, right? And we've seen Germany rebelling about the quarantine, all kinds of places. I think we do have a bit more rebellion in our future. However, again, what I like to teach is that peace, world peace, and I joke that I used to be in beauty pageants when I was a kid, like a teenager. And I'm like, no, but really, I want to create world peace. And peace, world peace, though, really begins in us individually.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was Mahatma Gandhi that said, be the change you wish to see in the world.
Yeah.
If we are peaceful, that is a virus that spreads way more contagious than COVID-19. If we are hopeful, and again, that silent sitting that we were talking about earlier, this is where we exercise our creativity muscles. We may go into this silent time seeing no way out of this situation, but going into this silence, we allow that divine inspiration to give us ideas. You know, maybe it's just for our one community. All right, we're going to start holding church services in the parking lot. Many churches have done, you know, we find a way to gather. We find a way. And I hope that that's the direction we go. And I believe that when we do these practices and we're very more intentional, we become the person that another one calls to be lifted up.
Yeah.
We become the person who organizes something in our community, even with the laws that try to keep us apart. And when we spread that, we encourage other people to start doing that. And then it spreads and it spreads and it spreads just like a virus, but all for the good.
We are resilient human beings, and we've been through a lot worse, as you know, and we can get through this. I mean, I agree with you 100%. You know, we need to come together no matter what you think, what you believe in, different beliefs, different political views, whatever. You know, we just need to come together.
Gather with masks if that's what, you know, however we choose to gather. Even the gathering online is good, you know, and like you said, we don't have to stop doing these things.
No.
We're having this conversation from the middle of the country and the west coast of the country. You know, the conversation I had with Rabbi Lapin was, you know, he was on the east coast, I was on the west coast, and I was doing all my shows live up until then. So I wouldn't have been able to interview him before.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of opportunity. And when we can get in gratitude with our eyes open to what's happening, you know, not be naive and stick our heads in the sand and just like I used to do where I just, oh, we'll be positive until, you know, things completely break. Not like that.
Yeah.
But lifting each other up, coming up with ideas, connecting with one another, whether that's in person or online, and connecting with our source, with God, if you will, and connecting in ourself and acknowledging the feelings we're experiencing and the feelings we'd like to experience.
Yeah, I love it. Raina Rose, you're a breath of fresh air. I love talking to you. You can talk to you all day. If people want to reach out to you, how do they find you? I mean, how they get your book? When is it out? Okay, how do they find your book, your shows, and everything?
Probably the best way to go to the book is Amazon.com. If you look up Raina Rose, Sin Tastes Good, it will pop up. It has this dripping candy apple on it.
I love it. I love the visual.
Yeah, it's a pretty interesting visual. It's kind of fun. You can also visit my website. It's www.raina-rose.com. Please follow me on Instagram. I talk about giveaways and stuff on there a lot. So yeah, that's,
I follow her and you're awesome. I love what
you do. Soul Nutritionist, yeah. With a little underscores under the word. And you know what, if you're listening to this and you just want to reach out and you need someone to lift you up, you can email me directly. That's raina@raina-rose.com.
Raina Rose, got to have you back on. You know that. Got to have you back on.
I can't wait.
Love having you on the show. Much success to you, my friend. And look forward to talking with you in the future.
Thank you. Me too.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast. For more strategies for self-improvement and resources based on today's episode, be sure to head to cjevolution.com. You can also connect to Patrick directly on social media at @Pat_Fitzgibbons with any questions, comments, or concerns. We look forward to helping you find more personal success on the next episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast.